Let's continue in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Your servants need you, Lord, as we always do. Please fill in the gaps that might be left and bring us to understanding. Your words will be hope, instruction, and encouragement. They will achieve their purposes on all of us here and all people at home. All glory to you. Amen. First John chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. This is a very important declarative, descriptive, as opposed to prescriptive sentence. Please do not miss this. To understand the gravity of being born of God is to avoid confusion reading the whole Bible. This sentence does not indicate that believing that Jesus is the Christ is a qualification that needs to be acquired to have that status. Being born of God was a result of divine initiative. We were chosen. You have to be elected. Our salvation was not by our own human personal choice. The whole idea of being set apart or being saved is a paraphrase of God's election in redemptive work. Believers did not choose him. Back when he had GPS, our brother Tony Kenning said that our salvation began before the foundation of the world. We see that in 1 John 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Ephesians 1, 4 to 5. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And in Romans 9, 14, for he says to Moses, Weos appears elsewhere in Scripture and translated to child, where in the context, apart from the works of John, technon usually differs from weos in the sense that the child, weos, the word weos, displays the moral and behavioral character of the parent. So it's not being weos to God is not taught. It's inborn. When you're born of God, you behave like you have that moral characteristic of God. Have you seen your child sleeping in the same position that you do? That's being weos. Being technon means you're a child by name. But being weos means that you are a child visibly, because you display the same characteristics of your parent. We are weos if we are born of God. So naturally, we love those who are born of God as well. It's not taught. It's not. We as believers now have the same moral and behavioral sensibilities as God our Father. Although we are still imperfect and being perfected, we see that the commandments are beneficial to all. Beneficial not only to our spiritual siblings, but to those outside the faith as well. We would have nothing less than the commands of God as they have become more natural and easier for us to follow. This is in contrast to our old nature that viewed the commandments as offensive, judgmental, restrictive, like Hillary Clinton said, too many rules. We all. I take that back. It was Steve Harvey said, too many rules. Hillary Clinton said it. We're just being too judgmental. Yeah. And by the way, we necessarily include the first four commandments, Exodus 20, verse 1 to 11. We have one God, one supreme, absolute moral authority. We must not have any other gods but Him. We include that. Number two, no mere representation of Him using images of created living things, habits. We also substitute habits, relationships, etc. Number three, we should deeply respect His name. Do not take it in vain. And number four, remember the authority behind His words or instructions, even if it's just saying, take a break. Try to turn the page. Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver II gave us a picture of what a questionable Christian is like. He's a former United Methodist pastor and an American Democrat of Missouri. Politician in a prayer in the chambers of the United States Congress said, "We ask in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many different names, by many different faiths, a man and a woman." That was Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver. Being at a great place to stand on his convictions, Representative Cleaver effectively denied the first four commandments. As true children of God, this is not how we should be. For everyone who's been born, verse 4, for everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. What does it mean to overcome the world? What is the nature of that needs to be overcome? Alexander McLean, the Scottish minister, provisional first president of the Baptist World Alliance in 1905, says this, "The world conquers me when it comes between me and God. Things deemed more pressing, social pressures from peers, workmates, family, wives, husbands, brothers, and family, sins that are entrenched in our hearts and are difficult for us to let go. Number two, fills my desires, wealth, fame, power, a person, anything but God is what we yearn for. The world conquers me when it absorbs my energies, it fills my focus. And the world conquers me when it blinds my eyes to the things unseen and eternal. We overcome the world when we desire and have fellowship with God and other believers. We desire the Word, not the world. We desire the Word. We realize that Jesus is our reward and not earthly things. We are not mindful of our station or the bad state of our health. We give our best to whatever we find our hands to do, whether we eat or breathe. Our energies go to do these things for the glory of God, looking forward to the day that we will see Him. He is our eternal hope." Continue with verse 4. "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" And how is this possible, this overcoming the world? We read in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." We overcome the world through our God-given faith, totally detached from the things we did or did not do, are doing or not doing, or will not do. We were born of God, remember? Before the foundation of the world. It is not in our faith, in faith, that we have this overcoming ability. It is in the object of this God-given faith. That is Jesus of Nazareth. According to Matthew Poole, Faith fills the soul with so great things concerning Jesus and God as to easily turn this world into a contemptible shadow and deprive it of all its former power over us. As the song goes, Lord, you are more precious than silver. But who is this Jesus? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. Several commentaries have given different views of how this could be interpreted. I would like to share a couple of them. This threefold testimony corresponds to the Trinity and the work or offices in the process of salvation. Water signifies God, the Father's testimony as to who Jesus is when he was being baptized in water by his cousin John. The blood stands for Jesus' death and resurrection. Christ's blood as God and man is the proper atonement for our sins. And lastly, in this line of thought, the Spirit, who is also God, firstly attests to ourselves that Jesus is indeed our God and Savior, and explains to us who Jesus is. It also means, number two, that we, through the Spirit, understand the process of atonement for our sins and the appeasement of God. Number three, the Spirit is the effective seal of our salvation and the mark of our confidence in God's work in us. Alternatively, view number two, water can also be the testimony of a baptized, changed life of a believer in Christ. Please take careful note that a changed life is meaningless without the blood of Jesus. Not by the water only, but by the water and by the blood. The testimony of the blood is the complete and expensive redemption through Jesus Christ. Finally, the Spirit points us to Christ, tells us who he is, makes us understand that he is the author of our faith, and seals our hope, our unique, singular hope. No other name under heaven. Acts 4, verse 12. English Christian theologian Charles Ellicott observed, the object of 1 John is to warn his friends of the real light in which they ought to regard the opponents of the truth. There should be no complacent condoning, his words. There should be no complacent condoning. From the point of view of the Christians themselves, such unbelievers were throwing the truth back in God's face and calling God a liar. And this is verse 11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. 1 John was written to churches and was not for us to think about our ministry relationships with those outside the faith. The epistle needs to be considered in this context to be understood properly. There is a demand for a Christian lifestyle, or as Alan said in his message, three tests of genuine Christianity And these were the points under assault by faulty teaching: brotherly love, obedience, and finally the admonition to identify and reject heresies. You were born of God because God has revealed himself to you. Without the Spirit of God, no amount of Bible college can make you understand who God is. It's like John MacArthur had this friend who, after graduating from Bible college, established a Buddhist temple in his own house. No amount of Bible college can make you understand who God is without the Spirit. Bible college is no guarantee. There is no heresy in your heart if you are not born of God. No amount of service, working miracles of faith, is of value without God's initiated rebirth. Let me remind you, Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What is the will of God? What is the will or the commandment of God? 1 John 3, verse 23. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Conversely, having the Holy Spirit assures us that we will not stay relegated or stuck in our infancy in the faith, nor in the knowledge of God, forever drinking milk. If we were born of God, sooner or later, we will desire meat. Let me close the message with this. The author of 1 John had in mind foremost was a warning to the church. You can even see it in how he closes the whole epistle. Little children, stay away from idols. That's how he closed it. Jesus himself says in Matthew 24, verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Going back to former pastor, Representative Emmanuel Cleaver II, if we think low of his testimony after that prayer, consider the state of his flock. His prayer does not speak much about them too. That is not love from God for the brethren. The warnings in 1 John don't come with a losing tone, thankfully. We should be vigilant, but encouraged. It is only after then that we can properly think of spreading the good news and making disciples. Brother Tony said ambassadors again. Here we have that word. And our brother Gareth told us that God's love is missional. No Christian can argue with that, even if it's just to my own Jerusalem, to the next town, to the uttermost parts of the world. No Christian can rightly argue with that. We are born of God. We are missional. We are ambassadors. If we are ambassadors for Christ, we love one another. John 13, verse 35. Jesus himself said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If we are ambassadors for Christ, we are obedient to his commandments because we are his children. 1 John 5, verses 2 to 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And lastly, if we are ambassadors for Christ, we stand and pray against what is in error, against the word's truths. We stand in and pray against what is in error. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, the NIV. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We see on all these things an opportunity to shine the love and light of God even brighter. This is the truth for the, if we are ambassadors, this is the truth for the holy nation we represent. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let us pray. Abba, please clothe us with your gentleness, but still arm us with the knowledge of your word, our souls called the sword of the Spirit. Remind us who we are in you, and that you have chosen our brethren as well. Allow us to care for each other, remembering the value that you have given us, the blood and life of Jesus on the cross. Give us the courage to bring important matters of faith to mind, especially when they do not ring true to your word. Allow us all to be humble, even if the corrector needs to be corrected. Everything for your glory alone. In the name of Jesus, amen.